Chapter 8, Words of Caution. Let the truth cut. Christ said to his disciples, Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Matthew 10:16. Satan's attacks against the advocates of the truth will wax more bitter and determined to the very close of time. As in Christ's day the chief priests and rulers stirred up the people against him, so today the religious leaders will excite bitterness and prejudice against the truth for this time. The people will be led to acts of violence and opposition which they would never have thought of had they not been imbued with the animosity of professed Christians against the truth. What course shall the advocates of truth pursue? They have the unchangeable, eternal Word of God, and they should reveal the fact that they have the truth as it is in Jesus. Their words must not be rugged and sharp. In their presentation of truth, they must manifest the love and meekness and gentleness of Christ. Let the truth do the cutting. The Word of God is as a sharp, two-edged sword, and will cut its way to the heart. Those who know that they have the truth should not, by the use of harsh and severe expressions, give Satan one chance to misinterpret their spirit. No railing accusation. As a people, we must stand as did the world's Redeemer. When in controversy with Satan in regard to the body of Moses, Christ durst not bring against him a railing accusation. He had every provocation to do this, and Satan was disappointed because he could not arouse in Christ a spirit of retaliation. Satan was ready to misinterpret everything that was done by Jesus, and the Savior would give him no occasion, not the semblance of an excuse. He would not turn from his straightforward course of truth in order to follow the wanderings and twistings and turnings and prevarications of Satan. We read in the prophecy of Zechariah that when Satan with all his synagogue stood up to resist the prayers of Joshua the high priest, and to resist Christ, who was about to show decided favor to Joshua, the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Zechariah 3:2. The course of Christ in dealing even with the adversary of souls should be an example to us in all our intercourse with others, never to bring a railing accusation against any. Much less should we employ harshness or severity toward those who may be as anxious to know the right way as we ourselves. Those who have been educated in the truth by precept and example should make great allowance for others who have had no knowledge of the Scriptures except through the interpretation given by ministers and church members, and who have received traditions and fables as Bible truth. They are surprised by the presentation of truth as it is a new revelation to them, and they cannot bear to have all the truth in its most striking character presented by them at the outset. All is new and strange and wholly unlike that which they have heard from their ministers, and they are inclined to believe what the ministers have told them, that Seventh-day Adventists are infidels and do not believe the Bible. Let the truth be presented as it is in Jesus, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. Unkind thrusts and personal allusions. Let not those who write for our papers make unkind thrusts and allusions that will certainly do harm, and that will hedge up the way and hinder us from doing the work that we should do in order to reach all classes, the Catholics included. It is our work to speak the truth in love and not to mix in with the truth the unsanctified elements of the natural heart and speak things that savor of the same spirit possessed by our enemies. All sharp thrusts will come back upon us in double measure when the power is in the hands of those who can exercise it for our injury. Over and over the message has been given to me that we are not to say one word, not to publish one sentence, especially by way of personalities, unless positively essential in vindicating the truth, that will stir up our enemies against us and arouse their passions to a white heat. Our work will soon be closed up, and soon the time of trouble such as never was will come upon us, of which we have but little idea. Disqualified by careless statements. The Lord wants His workers to represent Him, the great missionary worker. The manifestation of rashness always does harm. The proprieties essential for Christian life must be learned daily in the school of Christ. He who is careless and heedless in uttering words or in writing words for publication to be sent broadcast into the world, sending forth expressions that can never be taken back, is disqualify himself to be trusted with the sacred work which devolves upon Christ's followers at this time. Those who practice giving harsh thrusts are forming habits that will strengthen by repetition and will have to be repented of. We should carefully examine our ways and our spirit and see in what manner we are doing the work given us of God, which involves the destiny of souls. The very highest obligation is resting upon us. Satan is standing ready, burning with zeal to inspire the whole confederacy of satanic agencies, that he may cause them to unite with evil men and bring upon the believers of truth speedy and severe suffering. Every unwise word that is uttered through our brethren will be treasured up by the Prince of Darkness. I should like to ask, how dare finite human intelligences speak careless and venturesome words that will stir up the powers of hell against the saints of God, when Michael the archangel durst not bring against Satan a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee," Jude 9. It will be impossible for us to avoid difficulties and suffering. Jesus said, "Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh," Matthew 18:7. But because offense will come, we should be careful not to stir up the natural temperament of those who love not the truth by unwise words and by the manifestation of an unkind spirit. Present truth without censure. Precious truth must be presented in its native force. The deceptive errors that are widespread and that are leading the world captive are to be unveiled. Every effort possible is being made to ensnare souls with subtle reasonings to turn them from the truth to fables, and to prepare them to be deceived by strong delusions. But while these deceived souls turn from the truth to error, do not speak to them one word of censure. Seek to show these poor, deluded souls their danger and to reveal to them how grievous is their course of action toward Jesus Christ. But let it all be done in pitying tenderness. By a proper manner of labor, some of the souls who are ensnared by Satan may be recovered from his power. But do not blame and condemn them. To ridicule the position held by those who are in error will not open their blind eyes nor attract them to the truth. When men lose sight of Christ's example and do not pattern after his manner of teaching, they become self-sufficient and go forth to meet Satan with his own manner of weapons. The enemy knows well how to turn his weapons upon those who use them. Jesus spoke only words of pure truth and righteousness. If ever a people needed to walk in humility before God, it is his church, his chosen ones in this generation. We all need to bewail the dullness of our intellectual faculties, the lack of appreciation of our privileges and opportunities. We have nothing whereof to boast. We grieve the Lord Jesus Christ by our harshness, by our unchristlike thrusts. We need to become complete in him. Thrusts at Catholics. It is true that we are commanded to cry aloud and spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, the house of Jacob their sins, Isaiah 58:1. This message must be given, but while it must be given, we should be careful not to thrust and crowd and condemn those who have not the light that we have. We should not go out of our way to make hard thrusts at the Catholics. Among the Catholics there are many who are most conscientious Christians, and who walk in all the light that shines upon them, and God will work in their behalf. Those who have had great privileges and opportunities and who have failed to improve their physical, mental, and moral powers, but who have lived to please themselves and have refused to bear their responsibility, are in greater danger and in greater condemnation before God than those who are in error upon doctrinal points, yet who seek to live to do good to others. Do not censure others. Do not condemn them. If we allow selfish considerations, false reasoning, and false excuses to bring us into a perverse state of mind and heart, so that we shall not know the ways and will of God, we shall be far more guilty than the open sinner. We need to be very cautious in order that we may not condemn those who before God are less guilty than ourselves. Let every one bear in mind that we are in no case to invite persecution. We are not to use harsh and cutting words. Keep them out of every article written. Drop them out of every address given. Let the word of God do the cutting, the rebuking. Let finite men hide and abide in Jesus Christ. Let the Spirit of Christ appear. Let all be guarded in their words, lest they place those not of our faith in deadly opposition against us and give Satan an opportunity to use the unadvised words to hedge up our way. There is to be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. Our work is to study to weed out of all our discourses everything that savors of retaliation and defiance and making a drive against churches and individuals, because this is not Christ's way and method. Testimonies, Volume 9, page 239 to 244. Regarding the Catholics, brethren, I feel hurt when I see so many decided thrusts are made against the Catholics. Preach the word, but restrain the words which show a harsh spirit, for such words cannot help or enlighten anyone. The Echo is a paper that should be circulated largely. Do not do anything that would hinder its sale. There is no reason why it should not be as a light shining in a dark place. But for Christ's sake, heed the admonition which has been given in regard to making scathing remarks about the Catholics. Many Catholics read the Echo, and among the number there are honest souls who will accept the truth. But there is such a thing as shutting the door in their faces as they are about to enter. Put more cheering testimonies of thanksgiving into the Echo. Do not hedge up its way and prevent it from going to all parts of the world by making it a medium for hard expressions. Satan rejoices when one word of bitterness is found in his pages. Letter 20, 1896. Less to say, there is need of a much closer study of the Word of God, especially should Daniel and the Revelation have attention as never before in the history of our work. We may have less to say in some lines in regard to the Roman power and the papacy, but we should call attention to what the prophets and apostles have written under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit has so shaped matters, both in the giving of the prophecy and in the events portrayed, as to teach that the human agent is to be kept out of sight, hid in Christ, and the Lord God of heaven and His law are to be exalted. Letter 57, 1896. No condemnatory articles. The light which I have to give to our people is, let no condemnatory speeches be printed in our papers. A large number of precious souls are groping in darkness and yet longing and weeping and praying for light. This is in churches everywhere. Manuscript 46, 1900. No gall. Every article you write may be all truth, but one drop of gall in it will poison the reader. One reader will discard all your good and acceptable words because of that drop of poison. Another will feed on the poison, for he loves such harsh words. Letter 91, 1899. Facing readers in the judgment. My attention has been called to your articles in our papers in reference to the Women's Christian Temperance Union. In the work of temperance, all church members are supposed to stand upon the platform of union. Your putting on the appearance of antagonism is natural to you, but it's not after the order of Christ. You are building up barricades that should not be made to appear. After reading your articles, will those who know not what our faith is feel inclined to make an attempt to unite with us? The tone of your article savors of Pharisaism. The man who expects to enlighten a deceived people must come near to them and labor for them in love. He must become a center of holy influences. The ideas expressed in your articles say so strongly of antagonism that you will do harm more than you can possibly conceive. Remember that if by the injudicious use of your pen you close the door to even one soul, that soul will confront you in the judgment. Oh, how much has been said that has turned souls to bitterness and gall against the truth. Words that should have been a savor of life unto life have been made a savor of death unto death by the spirit which accompanied them. Letter 17, 1900. In the spirit of Christ, we cannot help the Christless by finding fault with them.
We have not been given the work of reproving or giving personal thrust in our periodicals. This attitude is misleading. We are not to be easily provoked. We are to remember that by our spiritual attitude, we are to show that we are feeding on Christ, the bread of life. By our words, our tempers, and our works, we may testify to those with whom we come in contact that the Spirit of Christ dwells in us. Manuscript 46, 1898.